preaching series that is focused on different worldviews and different values that are common to many of us. We are looking at how Jesus challenges our outlook on life to make 2018 the most purposeful and most meaningful year that we've had to date. And so last week, we looked at how Jesus challenges our views on materialism, that so often we are coming across and being bombarded with different adverts that are telling us that joy and meaning and purpose will be found in buying this or that product. We looked at how Jesus says that it's foolish to be putting our hopes of a good life into material things, and rather we should be finding our purpose and meaning in Him. And this week, I want us to be looking at image. Now, last week I said that materialism has always been such a popular view of the world, such a popular value that all of us have held on to. Saying that, there is a generation of people who are starting to think a little bit less about materialism. And that generation are called millennials. And millennials are people who are born between the early 80s and the mid 90s. So I am most definitely a millennial. And we have some millennials here. Hannah, you're just about a millennial, aren't you? But we typify, in this respect anyway, what millennials are like. We're not so focused on buying stuff, but rather try and have more experiences instead. So, for example, this Christmas, we only bought one small gift for each other because we didn't want to be cluttering up the house with this stuff. And rather, we thought we'd put aside the money that we'd normally spend on presents for each other and we would buy an experience instead. So we're going to be watching Aladdin in the West End in a couple of weeks' time. It's good for millennials to have this kind of approach, to be thinking, yes, we want to buy stuff, and yes, we get taken in by these adverts, but also we really want to have more experiences rather than just being stuck at home gathering clutter and stuff. But one of the reasons for seeking experiences over stuff is not that great. So there have been studies that have been done to see why do people who are kind of in their mid-20s to mid-30s, why are they seeking experiences over stuff? And this isn't the main reason, but this is an important reason, is that so that when they have an experience, they can take photos of it, they can take selfies of it, and then they can load it up to social media. And by doing that, you're then showing the world that you're having this great experience. Henry and I, a few months ago, went to Iceland. And one of the highlights of our trip was we went to the Blue Lagoon, which is like this giant, naturally heated pool. And when you were in the water, you had to have your shoulders underneath, because otherwise you'd be absolutely freezing. And you just kind of wade around in this pool for hours on end, and we came out so wrinkled, it was ridiculous. But what we saw, because outside it's like minus something, what we saw were people who, well, some women who were in their bikinis and stuff, and they were standing on these bridges. Okay, so out of this warm water, in the absolute freezing cold, posing for minutes, so that their boyfriends could be taking photos of them. They weren't really enjoying the experience. They couldn't have been enjoying that experience. But they were using that opportunity to take photos, to share them, to put them on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, so that people would view them, so that people would like them, so that people would notice them, so that people who saw these photos would think, oh, wow, that person has been on a great adventure. That person is adventurous. That person is exciting. That person is fun. That person has enough money to go on these good trips as well. I read another article, which isn't so great, which says that 73% of Facebook and Instagram users find photos of their friends really annoying. Okay, so next time you go on holiday, if you are thinking, okay, I want to boost my image, my online profile a little bit, and I'm going to upload some photos, 73% of people aren't going to be thinking, wow, they're amazing. They're going to be thinking, wow, they're annoying. So you need to take that on board. But social media is the way that it has really taken over some of our lives over the last few years. Just shows and demonstrates how important our image is to us. And if you're not part of that Instagram, Facebook generation, or you've just got no interest in it, all of us are seeking to improve or to maintain some kind of image. Some of us will be spending lots of time picking out clothes each morning so that we present our best image. We might go to the hairdressers maybe more often than perhaps we really need to try and maintain an image. The car that we choose to drive may not be very practical, but it boosts our image. The way that we talk to people sometimes is trying to convey some kind of image. If you talk to a young person sometimes and you realize you're using language that you don't normally use, are you using it to try and, you know, bond with them, or are you trying to come across as someone who's young and who's hip? I appreciate that hip is just not a word that they use anyway, but they've gone out, so that's fine. I know that I try and portray a certain image around certain people. Just one example, each year when I go and get my car MOT'd and serviced, I go to this place in Essex, and I find my accent changing when I'm at the mechanics. I'm no longer speaking as Alex, but I'm speaking as East End Alex, trying to portray an image just which isn't true, trying to portray something that I'm not. Some of us may really be past trying to present an image to people, but some of us, maybe even some of us here, try to portray that we are strong and that we don't have problems, or if we have problems, they don't get to us. That can be an image that we try and portray when really, deep down inside, we're feeling weak and we're feeling vulnerable. Christians value image, not really in the Facebook and Instagram sense, but we do believe that image is important because we have been made in the image of God. Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, it says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." When we look at the children in this church, or children that we know, we see through so many different aspects of them, we see their parents. Just looking in their faces, we can recognize who they will belong to. As they grow older, we see personality traits and even mannerisms that really belong to their parents, that they're identifiable in that way. And in the same sense, we have a Heavenly Father who has created us as his children in his own image. God creates, God loves, God sometimes hates, God grieves, God has compassion, God gets frustrated, God loves justice. And these are certain aspects that we find within ourselves as children of God. We don't have to read on much further in Genesis to see how humanity left the family of God, and by doing so, disrupted and maladjusted the image of Almighty God. They no longer wanted to follow the image and the character and the example of God, but rather wanted to make an image for themselves, for their own fame. The incarnation, the fact that Jesus came to earth, came to restore our relationship with God, and part of that restoration is that realization that we need to be more like God. We need to be more like our Heavenly Father. We need to image our Father better than we have been. And so part of that restoration is us as God's children being better image bearers of Him again. And so we have this verse in Ephesians. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Our Father dearly loves us. He wants the best for us, and He wants us to reflect Him in every single thing that we do, in all of the different aspects of God, in all the facets of His character. He wishes us to display those things and image those things in our own lives. Therefore, as Christians, we care about our image, but we don't really care so much about what image we are portraying, but whose image we are portraying in our lives. We're going to have a Bible reading now, and I think Bill was going to do it, but I don't think he's here, is he? So George is going to come up and read for us just a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 5. Thank you.
So it's headed Salt and Light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Thank you. And so one of Jesus' most famous sayings is, I am the light of the world. In a world which has been darkened by sin and by lies and deceit and by secrets, Jesus came as the light, as the truth, to come and show the light of God and to reveal all the evil in the world and show us God for us. We have in this reading, verse 14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. When Jesus is speaking here, he's really speaking to his disciples. It's not a general you as in you, everyone, but you, the people that he was making eye contact with. He was saying, you are the light of the world. He's not making some kind of command here. He's not saying, I want you to be the light of the world. And he's not making some kind of promise. You will be the light of the world. He's making an actual statement that wherever you are in your relationship with God today, no matter how you feel about God, no matter how you've been walking with him or not walking with him, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. Is there a difference between Jesus being the light of the world and us being the light of the world? Well, there is. There is a distinct difference. Jesus is the light, and we are pointers of Jesus' light to the world. So just to use a simple illustration, if you take this projector up here, Jesus would be like the bulb. Jesus is the filament within the bulb, which allows there to be light. What he has asked us to do in being the light of the world is he has asked us to be the projector that goes around that bulb. We are the ones that need the energy source. We're the ones who have the lens. We are the ones which have all the whatever the stuff is inside. I should have researched that, shouldn't I, before I shared that? We are the projector. We're not the light. Jesus is the light, but we are the ones who are tasked in our flesh, in our skin, to be displaying that light of Christ to the world. The one thing I do know about projectors is that the quality of the projector depends will determine the lumens that it illuminates. So if you want a really good projector, you have really high lumens. If you have a good projector, it will have high lumens that will make it very bright. If we want to have high lumens, if we want to display the lumens of Christ to the world, that is determined by how we are transformed by the Holy Spirit. There is this statement that we are the light of the world, but we will only shine brightly if we have the Holy Spirit working powerfully, as we were praying earlier on, within us. Through thinking and acting and responding like Christ in our situations, we can bring light to others. And we have this challenge, don't we? Light of the world. We're not only called to share God's light with people locally, but also for the entire world. We see how God has manifested his light and his spirit through his disciples, which means that all over the world, there are billions of people who know the light of God and who follow him. That's why it remains a priority for us as a local church to be praying that the light will continue to spread in our world. Mission has to continue to be a priority. And then we have verse 16 here. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We want to project a strong image. We want lots of lumens coming out of us. Not to try and impress with religion, but to show God. As Jesus was saying these words, he was surrounded by people, by religious people, who were doing very religious acts, who were doing lots of good deeds, but it was all for their own glory. It was all to draw attention to themselves. It was all for people to be thinking, yes, that's a holy and good person. We want to shun religion in that sense. And we want to do good works, but we want to do it for the praise of our Heavenly Father. We want to make God known and recognized. We want to make God honored and thanked and worshipped and glorified. The truth is, all of us, whether we follow Christ or not, we've all been made to be projectors. We project different images that people will view and also that they will interpret. Right from the beginning of our Bibles, we see that God gives the freedom for us to project and display whatever we choose to. Online, on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, much care is often taken for the image that we portray of ourselves. I know in the past, people have put up photos of me that I have very quickly deleted because I haven't looked at my best. We're also careful, well, mostly we are careful in what we put on social media as well. But what about where we just have to be on our feet a little bit more, thinking on our feet? What about when we're in our homes or in our offices? What about when we're in the pub or when we are at church? Are we intentional in what we project to other people? At times, of course, we will be projecting ourselves, and that's fine. We might be trying to project our independence or our confidence or our intelligence or our success. And there's nothing wrong with that. But as we start this new year, what if we make the conscious decision to try and project Jesus and his light a little more than projecting ourselves? What kind of transformational effects might that have not only on us, but also those who are looking at us? As we make everyday choices, let's remember to project God's image and his light over our own. May we know the transforming light of Christ and share this light with others. not for our own glory or for the glory of Sidcup Baptist Church, but for the glory and praise of our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on how you create us, you create us with many different purposes and with ideas in mind. And Lord, one of those purposes is to be a projector. We thank you that you give us the freedom to project to others whatever we choose to. We thank you that you haven't made us to be like digital projectors today that just display whatever they've been told. But we do have that freedom. Father, this year as we put our time and in and our effort and thought into what we're going to project, as well as the other things that we might project of ourselves, of trying to come across as strong people, as intelligent people, as successful people. Lord, would you put a thought in our minds? Would you put a reminder in us that we'd be made for a greater purpose than to project ourselves or to project a version of ourselves that we'd like to be? Rather, instead, would you help us to project you and your light? Lord, none of us are here today because we just stumbled across you in the darkness. But we are here today because someone else has shone the light of Christ into our lives and revealed you. Lord, would you give us that blessing and that delight in being able to share the light that we have been gifted with those around us. Lord, we do all of these things so that people will praise you and give you the glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And in response, we're going to sing our final hymn of this morning, Colours of Day. Thank you.